So we're doing the book of Daniel, and we're up to what's called the sixth chapter. Darius, Dariavish the Mede, has taken the throne. And Dariavish the Mede is 62 years old. The book reveals that to tell us that on the day that Nebuchadnezzar entered the Holy of Holies, Hashem brought to the world the one who would take him down. Nebuchadnezzar, if you do the math, entered the Holy of Holies 66 years earlier. And that's why the book of Daniel points out that Darius the Mede was 66 years old when he took the throne. To point out that he was born on that year that Nebuchadnezzar entered the Holy of Holies. So Darius does something unique, which should ring a bell. He appoints 120 advisors. So the men of the Great Assembly also had 120. Right? Very good. So he appoints on top of the 120 three top advisors, one of which was Daniel. And their responsibility was to ensure that no harm comes to the king. And everyone could see that Daniel was smarter than everyone else. And the king was thinking of appointing him on top of everyone to be completely in charge of the kingdom. So now the advisors were looking for a plot. How could they knock Daniel down? Good politicians. They were worried about the... Right? Politician by definition means one who's worried about remaining in the castle. Come from the word platra. Politikai comes from the word platra. Politikai is one who is concerned with remaining in the platra, in the throne. That's his concern. That's the definition of politikai. So they're concerned with remaining in the throne, like a good politician. They don't care too much about anything else. That's their concern. So they start checking the books, and they see, did Daniel ever cheat on his taxes? And they hire people, and they do every research they can, and they see, he's completely honest. There's nothing bad they can say about him. They can't find a single thing he's done wrong, even by mistake. So they come to a conclusion that they're not going to find anything against him. So the only way they could get Daniel is if they find something that will contradict his religion. So they come to the king, these advisors, and they say, long live King Dariavish! We all got together and thought, what would be the greatest plan for your kingdom to succeed? We want you to be accepted as the authority of the people, so we want to enact the following law, that no one can pose a request from any god or any human being for the next 30 days except for you. And anyone who poses a request to any god or any human being other than you, the king, in the next 30 days will be thrown into the lion's den. That's our advice to you. This is the way the people will get accustomed to this idea that they have to pose their request to you, that you're the boss, and if you want your kingdom to succeed, this is what you should do. Write it into law, because our practice in Mede and Persia is that once something's been written into law, you can never erase it. The laws are eternal. So Darius sees that his top advisors agree to this. He doesn't notice that Daniel isn't present, but he writes down the law. And when Daniel hears that the law's been written, so he goes home and he goes up to the attic. In the attic, he has an open window facing Jerusalem. Three times a day, he bows and prays and thanks his Creator opposite that window. And he continues doing the same thing. He doesn't change his practice. He continues davening.
How old was Daniel at this point? He was really old. The other king was 66. And he was there but exile, right?
Daniel was born before the exile, so Daniel would have to be at this point somewhere in his 70s. Figure 66 years passed since the exile, and directly following the exile, Nebuchadnezzar summons the kids. So let's imagine he's 7, 9 years old when he's summoned. So he had that to 66. So he's somewhere in his 70s at this point. Yes?
I heard this week that like you kneel at the Yom Kippur four times for me. People used to kneel much more before, but it changed after the Muslim and the Christians took over.
That I don't know.
Is it right that they're...
It's correct that they used to bow more, yes. So, these wonderful advisors, they pay attention and they see that Daniel is praying. So they come to the king and they say, you know, you wrote a law that if anyone poses a request to any god or human for the next 30 days, so then you, our king, will throw him into the lion's den. So the king says, that's true, and in accordance with the religion of Mede and Persia, it's not changing. So they say, well, we just want to tell you that Daniel, from the Jewish exile, he doesn't care about your decree, and he doesn't care about your law, and three times a day, he goes and prays and asks of his creator. So the king, when he hears that, he was very upset. He was upset over Daniel. So the king wasn't happy about this. He liked Daniel. So he said to them, I don't believe you. And all afternoon, the advisors kept arguing with him, and he kept arguing back. And he kept trying to find excuses. I don't believe he's doing it. Who said? And when nighttime came, so the advisor said, look here. The rule in Persia and Mede is that if the king makes a rule, no one, and they're saying no one including the king, may go against the king's rule. And you cannot change the law that's been written. So they force the king and they force him to come with them. And then they show him Daniel praying. And now the king doesn't have a way out. So the king has Daniel summoned and put in the lion's den. And the king says to Daniel, he says to him, the God that you pray to him so frequently, he should save you. Because he didn't want to kill Daniel. He didn't see a way out. And then the king orders to have... the king orders to have a big rock brought. Because in those days in Babylon they worked with bricks. They didn't have rocks in Babylon. Babylon is it's a natural formation, doesn't have large stones. So they brought this huge rock to place on top of the lion's den, and the king seals it with his signet ring. He has it sealed in place because he was concerned that when he's not looking, they might come and kill Daniel and say the lions did it. And he gives an order that no one may do anything to harm Daniel. I'm putting him in the den, but no one may do anything. And then the king goes back home and fasts. And he doesn't want food brought before him. And he can't sleep that night. Just like Ahasuerus won't be able to sleep at night, so here you have his predecessor, who does it for good reasons. So the king gets up at the crack of dawn, and he runs out to the lion's den. And as he approached the den, he called out in a sad voice, and he yelled, Daniel, the servant of the living God, did the God that you worship so frequently, was he able to save you from the lions? So he's calling out as he's approaching the den. Sorry. So Daniel speaks to the king and he says, long live the king. My God sent his angel and he closed the mouths of the lions and they didn't harm me. because I guess that some merits were found in my favor in heaven, and you should know that they also protected you, so you've done nothing wrong. You should know that I've done nothing wrong to you either, the king. I haven't done anything improper towards you. And the king was very happy to see that Daniel was okay, and he ordered Daniel taken out of the den. And when they took Daniel out, everyone checked to see, was he scratched? Was anything wrong with him? And he was 100%. And then the king orders and has the men who spoke badly about Daniel, he has them summoned, and their wives and children. And they are all tossed into the den. And before they hit the ground, before they land on the den, the lions rip them to smithereens, and nothing is left of them. And then Darius Daryavesh writes a letter to all the countries, and he says, I want you all to know that you should all have awe and fear of the God of Daniel, because he is a living God, and he is existent forever, and his kingdom will never be hurt. His reign is till the end. He saves, and he does miracles in heaven and earth. Look at how he saved Daniel from the lions. And Daniel continues to be successful throughout the kingdom of Darius and then Koresh. This Koresh was actually Darius's son-in-law. This Darius dies the next year in battle, and his son-in-law Koresh the Persian takes over the throne. Okay, so that's the end of our story with Daniel and Darius and Daryavish.